lot to me and my wife, because for a long time we struggled with it. I mean, just the doubts would plague us constantly. And we had people who would try to convince us that those doubts were just from the devil, don't pay attention to them, so on and so forth. And thank God, God was patient with us and didn't let up on that thing, because it never went away. And gosh, I remember going to Reformers Unanimous at Pastor Haynes' church and coming back just an absolute, I mean, tears. And I came and knocked on pastor's door, and I said, for the first time I realized that I'm lost. I understood that those doubts, God was trying to strive with me just to let me see that I was a lost person. And I thank God that he did that, because if I would have shut that off and not listened to it, I may not have been saved today. But I thank God for it. And with those doubts are plaguing you, go ahead and face them. They're hard.
Dale, do you realize there's people who wondered why they ever did argue?
That's right. Oh, no question. I know why. Yeah, I know. God. And I talk about all the time how I miss RU, and just a good time. What a blessing it was for us to be able to go there on Friday nights. Just think if we didn't go, where we'd be today.
Amen.
I remember Pastor telling me, you're telling Amy, you know Amy? Dale might not be here in 10 years doing the things he's doing, and you know, so on and so forth. Thank God we're obedient and listening and going to that RU and being able to see for the first time in our lives, my goodness, I'm lost. I'm dying and I'm going to hell, and I know it. And I didn't listen to somebody else trying to shut my mouth, trying to say, don't worry about that stuff. Thank God we had a preacher who loved us and would preach and tell us the truth. And he dealt with me like a man needed to be dealt with. And that's one thing I stress all the time in the jails. Listen, I'm not going to deal with you like a little sissy. I'm going to talk to you like a man, because you need to be talked to like a man, because America has lost its manhood. Men in America today are effeminate as ever. And I was one of them. You ask my pastor. But the way he dealt with me, the way he talked with me, made me understand I'm so far from being a man that I had no clue what being a man was. None. To me, being a man was sleeping around with women, making babies, fighting, drinking, going in and out of jails and prisons, being in gangs, doing drugs. That was manhood to me. That's what I understood to be manhood. Oh, manhood isn't even close to that. It's the exact opposite of manhood. You go look up what manhood is in your Bible, and it's the exact opposite of what manhood is. And I thank God for a merciful God who was merciful unto me and who's teaching me now how to be a husband and a dad and a friend and a Sunday school teacher and a preacher. Otherwise, I don't know where I'd be. Probably back in prison or dead. That's it. There was no other hope for me, and I even had psychiatrists tell me there's no other hope for me. And there's no hope for anybody outside of Jesus Christ, is to get them to see that. Because they hope in this world. And I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for Pastor Hain being faithful to doing RU.
Amen.
A lot of, you know, out in the cornfield, whatever that place used to be, it's out in the middle of nowhere. God sends me out there to find out, to show me that I'm lost. Then he sends a man of God here, and I like to say this, this is just for, God sent Pastor here for me and Amy. I just like to say that, sounds good. Okay, because God loved me that much that I got that in Black Creek. I couldn't do it in the city. I couldn't even stay faithful to a church out there. Didn't do it in any time I went to jail or prison. But God sent a man of God to Black Creek Baptist Church where I would listen to him. You see, God knows what it's going to take, and I thank God for it. You know, there's things that go wrong in our lives, and sometimes we need to go back to the basics with the Lord. We need to get back there. In our family devotion time, one night we were reading, and Mr. Harold Vaughn had wrote something, and it's a perfect starting point. I'm going to read it, but for a minute, I want you to turn with me to Luke, the book of Luke. I said Mook. Book of Luke, chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 47. Very familiar. Matter of fact, the children sung about it this morning before Sunday school. And I sat there in amazement when they, Jen started singing that, because I said, man, that's what I'm preaching. The Lord gave me a message on being back to the basics. Luke 6, verses 47 through 49, it said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom it is like. He is like unto a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it. It was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house on earth. Against the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. That last word ought to be enough to put the fear of God in every person sitting in this room. Great was the fall. Not something small, not something to be taken lightly, but great was that fall. And I'm going to read what Mr. Vaughn said, and I loved it. It's just out of our daily devotions, and you know, to be honest with you, as soon as we're done with this book, a friend of ours, and I don't mean to blow her up, but Ashley Ford is doing devotions with Alphabet, and she's been sending them to us, and that's what we're going to start in the beginning of the year, because I want to finish this book we've been doing devotions in. But this is where I found it, going through our devotions. And it says here, it says, again, this passage of Scripture, Jesus teaches the importance of a solid foundation. He indicates that those who hear what he says and obeys his word are laying a rock-solid foundation on which they can safely build. Whether it be in marriage, life, family, ministry, or business, God's word must be our foundation. A family built a lovely new home and moved in, but their happiness was short-lived. After several months, a large crack appeared in the living room ceiling. The man of the house, assuming the crack was the builder's fault, called and asked him to return immediately and fix the crack. The builder fixed the problem. The ceiling looked as good as new. The family was happy again, but only for a few short months. The ugly crack returned. The builder found the best crack fixer in town. The gentleman examined the crack and took a walk around the house, but he returned with bad news. Sorry, folks, he said, but I can't fix your crack. Of course, the family wanted to know why. The problem isn't your ceiling, he said, it's your foundation. Due to a bad foundation, the house has settled. The settling has caused cracking in your ceiling. Take a good look at your family. Do you see the cracks in your ceilings? Many Christian families go to extremes trying to fix the cracks when they should be checking the family's foundation.
Yeah, it's good.
If your family is building on the solid foundation of God's word, you won't find any cracks. However, if you're building on the sinking, shifting sands of this world, you're going to be in trouble. How do you repair a faulty foundation? Go to the Bible. Discover what God says and follow his instructions. That's God's formula for success. And I'm just telling you, if I read a family devotion that meant so much to me and my family, we read that back in July. And I'm just telling you, it's been life-changing for me and my family to realize, my goodness, sometimes we need to go back to the basics. We need to go back and check our foundation. And that's where I'm going to go with this today, if the Lord permits. What is the foundation? Luke 6:47 tells us, whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. We see that the foundation is the Bible. Jesus Christ says, those who come to him, those who hear him and do what it says are the ones who are building on the firm foundation. There's some things in there that we have to see. There's some things that we need to understand that, listen, when you're building on that foundation, you have to hear how to build that foundation. And not only do you have to hear how to build that foundation, but in James 1:22, which will agree with this, you have to do something about it. Pastor Haynes a few weeks ago preached a message that has stuck with me ever since he preached that message. There's a few men of God who got up here and preached messages besides the ones our pastor has, which they stick with me. But like Brother Paul Scott and so on, there's things that they have said, shaking the serpent. Going back to default and stuff like that. There's things, that message that Pastor Haynes preached a few weeks ago on, hey, you can have all the doctrine in the world, but if you don't know how to live it, it's worthless.
That's right.
That's what this is talking about. Not only do you have to hear what God is saying about that foundation, but you got to do something about it on that foundation. You got to go ahead and go out there and do something. I explained to my children, hey, you're all sitting in this church today. You can hear the sound of my voice. I'm loud. You can hear it. But you're not listening. Because listening brings action. Listening, you will do something. And that's why James says, don't just be a hearer. He didn't say don't be a listener.
Yeah.
He says don't be a hearer because he knows you can hear, but you're not listening to what it's saying. And therefore, when you're not listening, you're not doing what it says.
Yeah.
And you're deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving God. He knows it. He's trying to get you to see it. You're deceiving yourself. What is this built on? Hey, listen, it's obvious to a duck. I'll keep it on myself, but I didn't know how to build a foundation. It took more than me to be able to build the foundation. It took Jesus Christ. Why after salvation would I go ahead and set that aside then? Many Christians do that. They get the salvation and they forget. You know, you gotta shore up that foundation. You gotta keep that checking that thing. You gotta keep staying in that thing because there's something in there that's trying to get in there and it's trying to go ahead and it wants to weaken that foundation. It's called the devil. It's called the world. It's called your flesh. It's called your sin nature. If you're not guarding that foundation, if you're not guarding it, getting into that thing and learning how to keep that thing going, you know what's gonna happen? It's gonna collapse. It'll be worthless. It's important that you be sure about your foundation. The firm foundation is the rock. Who is the rock? 1 Corinthians 10:4. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:4. It's going to tell us who that rock is. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. I know you want to take a nap. Wake up, do some jumping jacks. It's hard. I know how it is after eating. I sit there sometimes. Somebody's preaching at 1 o'clock. And my eyes are rolling. I'm trying to stay awake and listen. 1 Corinthians 10:4. We read, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So we see that foundation is Jesus Christ. We need to build that foundation. He's the rock. He's the one that's unmovable. We're immovable. Okay, people, we're human beings. We're immovable. We can be moved from one place to the next. Paul always warns of that. Don't always just follow everything. Don't follow everything everybody says. Stop moving so much. Build your foundation on that rock that's unmovable. His name is Jesus Christ. Okay? God hasn't changed the rock. He just gave us an example that in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ says that he followed the children of Israel around. So God hasn't changed that rock. That rock is still the same. Still the same solid foundation. But man's changing that rock, Pastor.
Yep.
Man's chiseling away at that thing and changing it. Changing his word, changing his churches, changing his music. They're just going ahead and they're chipping away at that rock and they're trying to make it fit their lifestyle and they're moving them rocks all over the place so they can fit in where they want. And I'm just telling you right now, today as I stand here, that God has not changed that rock. That rock is Jesus Christ and he's unmovable. And until you put your family on that, until you build your foundation on that, listen, you're always going to move with every wind of doctrine. You're always going to be here and there and not know what to believe and not know what to do. We don't have a cruel God like that. So if you're caught in that situation, you need to check your foundation. You've got to crack it, I can guarantee it. Okay? God's just not that cruel of a God. I couldn't follow a Ronald God who changed his rock all the time. Couldn't follow it all the time. He's always changing his word. And every year there's a new Bible that comes up. Could you imagine? He's a merciful God. He knows I'm a human being. I don't have that much of a brain. It would take a lot for me to every year have to learn a new Bible. Why would he be so cruel with that? He's not. He's already given us a firm foundation, Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says the word was made flesh. Dwelt among us. He is the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to build it. That's our firm foundation. People are walking away from that foundation today, and they're sitting in Baptist pews. You know why? They're so worried about what man thinks of them. What's God think of you? That crack that's growing steadily. Just started off real small. It ain't too bad. A few more months, it's bigger and bigger and bigger. And you wonder, how did I get here? Why didn't I just fix that? That foundation. What's the foundation you're building on? Something occurred to me while I was thinking about this. There's those people out there that have all the perverted versions of the Bible and different churches and such. Bryson, they're out there living like they really hold the truth in their hand. And those of us who are in these pews who do have the truth in our hand and do nothing about it. They're building their house on what they think is the firm foundation. Because they really believe they have the truth in those Bibles. They live like they think they have the truth. And then we have the truth, so that's what we say we believe. Really? You're holding that truth in your hand, or on your lap right now, I should say, and doing nothing about it? Who really has the truth? Do you think you really think you have that? That's a crack in your foundation. I'm not talking about going out there being an evangelist and a preacher and a pastor and all that, but I'm just telling you to go out there and be able to love simply your brothers and sisters in this church. We'll just go there and say that. I'll stop right there. Okay? But you go to those churches, even if it's fake, they're still doing it. They're still out there doing it. Hey, when's the last time you fed a homeless person or put clothes on their back? Be honest with yourself. When's the last time you seen somebody struggle and you go, gosh, that's my last $10. Not sure if I should do that. They'll do it. I see them do it all the time. And that's why they come to our church and they look at us like we're a secondary welfare system, because if that's what they've done to them, and then when we don't help them, they run back there because we won't do anything for them. It's exactly how it is.
That's right.
Exactly what it's like. Hey, there's a crack in the foundation, and the church here is guilty just like anybody else is. We're guilty. We've got to fix that. What about that hope that Jesus Christ gave you? Is that what you want to do? You want to hold on to it for your selfish self? What about the life? Amy, what about the life he's given us? You want to just hold on to that? And there's somebody else that might come here whose whole their life is all messed up. And you wouldn't want them to have that? Got to live like we have the truth. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. The Lord gave me this morning. I want to go to Isaiah 30. That's your Isaiah 30, Old Testament. Prophets. Isaiah 30. That's that note I made in the margin there, Pastor Haney, we were talking about. I put one in this morning. And thank God for a man of God who sit there, my pastor and Pastor Haney, we can have conversations and he can give me stuff and teach me things. And we just had a good conversation up here before I got up here. And I thank God that they'll share their wisdom like that. Like Israel in the book of Isaiah, and I want to go to chapter 30, verse 8 through 12. It says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come and forever and ever. So we see this is not going to end. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us the right thing, us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you all the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. That's a big problem in the churches today of me traveling around and seeing. They don't want that anymore. They don't want a man of God to stand up here and preach a Bible to them and try to give them some wisdom on how to run their life. They don't want to hear it anymore. They want to go out there and just hear all the smooth things. They want to bring God down to their level. You know what? I'm just telling you this. Thank God that God doesn't come down to my level. He did it once. It brought him to the cross. But thank God he brings me up to his level. Could you imagine the thinking that I think now, the way I talk, the way I act? That's good. You know why? Because God's bringing me up to His level. God's changing me. He's giving me a brain. He's giving me a way to think. He's taught me how to be a man and a brother. Okay? This is what God does to a person who's that low. I lived in the gutters my whole life. I got a palace waiting for me.
Amen.
Because God's bringing me up to His level. I'm not trying to bring Him down to mine. And you know what? That was going on in Israel. They didn't want to hear the word. They didn't want to hear what God... Listen, I'm just telling you right now, your foundation is never going to be settled if you can't get the word of God number one in your life. You. And then number two, your family. Forget it. If you can't get it right in your life, you sure can't share it with your family. That foundation is going to be teetering and tottering. Teetering and tottering. What's so hard? I think I wrote something down here. I said, let me see if I can find it real quick. I'll get to it in a minute. But he's that, with that firm foundation. God, you can't find nobody to listen to him. Pastor Hain says people are learning doctrine, but they don't know how to live it. Which is good, but they don't know how to live it. In 2 Kings. Go with me to 2 Kings. I lost track for us. I'm trying to think three or four different things at once. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. And this is, again, the Lord gave me this morning. 2 Kings 22. About King Josiah. 8 years old. He's 8 years old. And then now we're going to go 18 years after that. So he's around 26 years old at this point that I'm going to read. Okay? 2 Kings 22. Go with me to verse 11. I want you to see what happens when the word of God is preached. 2 Kings 22, verse 11. Now they just brought the word of God to him, the law. The guy read it to him. Now watch what happens. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. He just heard where he stood before God, where Israel was standing before God, and he rent his clothes because he understood, well, my goodness, this is where I stand with God. But you know what? That whole time, the word of God wasn't there. He was ruling the kingdom from he was 8 years old when he got the kingdom. Now he's 18, and for all those years, he didn't have the word of God. Guess what? They brought it to him, he rent his clothes, he did something about it. He heard the word of God, and he did something about it. We hear the word of God Wednesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, and if you listen to the website or whatever, and what are we doing about it? What are we doing with that foundation we supposedly have? Even if it doesn't go anywhere besides your family, getting your family right, getting them right in the word of God, getting them right on the foundation, what do we do with it? Are we so slack with it that we can't do it every day? Hey, you know, my kids, they're going to look at me as an example. They're going to live their life and following after what me and their mother teach them. Are we teaching them that we read our Bible every day? That we pray every day? That we beg God for mercy every day? That we trust Him when things are falling apart? That there's no way on God's green earth we can't make it? Do my kids see me trusting God or they see me trusting something else? What foundation are we laying for? One day I'm going to be gone. Did me and my wife, by the grace of God, through the word of God, teach them enough that they can live in this world on their own? We don't think about our kids walking out that door, but ask Pastor and Ruth Ann. Just about all their kids are out on their own. It's going to happen one day. Right. We're not thinking about that future. We're thinking about the now and now. And I'm just telling you, listen to me. It's good to think about the now and now, but you better be teaching them for the future. Building them on that foundation, not to turn out like they did in Isaiah 30, where they didn't want to hear the word of God. Where they just wanted to hear the smooth things than the good things. Got to teach them that. So important. Verse 13, he goes on. It says, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For it is great the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. You understand their fathers weren't listening to the words of this book? Mothers, dads, Are you hearkening unto what God is saying? Can your kids say, my goodness, yes, my dad or my mom, they're hearkening unto the Bible, they're listening to it, they're building the foundation on that? Or are you going to be like Josiah who says, please go get the Lord for me. Go inquire for me because my father or my mother didn't listen. They didn't listen to what God wrote in the book. Will you go pray for me? I don't want my children getting there. God forbid, help us. Lord, have mercy on the Morey family that we'd never get to that point where we tear down that foundation and my kids don't see it. There's no reason for me to live. None. Do you understand the mercy and the grace that you can spare your children from the things you know that you've been through? Just telling you. God wants to be merciful. Let's go back. Jesus Christ is our, if he's not our foundation, we're trying to fix the crack by any means of self and what man says. And Jesus says, get ready because the ruin of that house is great in Luke 6:49. He says, it's a great ruin. I know that scared me when I read that. A great ruin. How bad would it be? In the next few years, you guys see the Morey family and we're in great ruin because we got rid of that foundation. It happens.
That's right. It does.
It's going on today as we speak in Baptist churches. It's going on today. It's a great ruin. Why? Because they got rid of that foundation. It doesn't mean anything anymore. It means a lot to me because it's changed my life and is changing my life.
Amen.
I hold it dear to my heart. Do I hold that dear just here, Amy? I don't just hold the Bible dear because I'm here to show up. I got nothing to prove to you guys. 2 Timothy tells me to prove it to him. That's who I got to prove it to. Is he approved of me? The only way I'm going to know is to put it on that foundation. The only way it's ever going to stay is to build it on that foundation. Let's move on. Jesus says the ruin of the house would be great. And that should not be taken lightly. There should be a fear in us because this is the words and the warnings of Jesus Christ. And he's not saying them just to be out there. He's saying them because he's warning us that we're going the wrong way. Do you take that literal, that Jesus Christ is trying to give a warning to each and every person sitting in here? Or is it just some words written down in a book on some pages that you say you believe? A few weeks ago, I preached a message in my Sunday school about belief. And belief brings action.
Right.
You can't say you believe in something and do nothing with it.
Right.
I could probably take a census in here. How many of you say you believe the King James Bible is the true word of God? And not many hands will go up. They want you doing what it says. Because you really don't believe it. All that call upon his name shall be saved. But then you go down and it says, how can they? When they don't believe. Do you really believe that's the word of God? Do you really believe that's the firm foundation that it tells you to build it on? Then why aren't you doing it? How many warnings? How many? That firm foundation. You won't be sorry. Guarantee you won't be sorry. There's some basic things God expects from us. Get that. Expects from us. Remember, he gave his life. He died for us. He expects some basic things from us. And those basic things do not come with reward. The reward you get for doing those basic things is that you have a right relationship with him.
Amen.
It's those things that you go above and beyond that it starts handing out the blessings. But do you take just having a relationship with God? Don't you think that's a blessing enough?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
That's why it doesn't bother me to do the things he expects. He expects things from me. I teach my children, there's chores you have to do. They ain't getting paid for the chores. But then there's other chores they do that they can earn money for.
Amen.
Because there's things we expect from them that they have to do that's expected of them. What's their reward? Not to be punished, to have a right relationship with mom and dad. We're all in good standings. That's a blessing if you have that with the Lord.
Yeah,
but then there's things that they get rewarded for from one above and beyond where they can earn some money. You know why? Because I always want my kids to strive for better than what they think they can do. I want them to always push to go above and beyond. That wasn't me. I didn't know how to go above and beyond. I wasn't even a worker. I was a lazy bum who played video games and treated my wife and my children like crap, smoked cigarettes, drank beer, cussed them out, and abused them. That was me. I remember one night at Old Time Baptist Church. I can't remember the guy's name, and he preached on how a man should work. That was in August. By the time October came, they took all my Social Security from me. And I knew it was time for me to go to work. I've been working ever since.
Amen.
And I love it. You tell me, what doctor wouldn't put me on 100% disability right now, Amy? They sure would, but I refuse.
Amen.
I'll work. As long as I can walk, I'm going to work. Okay? That firm foundation. The Bible says it. I can never remember where it's at, but I'm going to quote it best I can. Ruth Ann, please forgive me. But it says that a thief will now work. The one who used to steal will now go to work.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's why. Because I've got that firm foundation in my life.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That crack's been fixed. It goes deeper than that. Number one. If you get upset at anything that I say here today, please bring it to God, because I'm going to preach His word, not anything I'm telling. I'm just telling you what He says. Some basic things God expects from us. Read and study the word of God daily. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. I remember a thing Pastor told me a long time ago, even before I got saved. You'll never find time to read your word. You have to make time. And I'm just telling you right now, make time to read your Bible on a daily basis. Not because you're looking for a reward from God, or not looking because things won't go right or will go right in your life, because sometimes even when you read, they go wrong. But how else are you going to learn about a foundation if you don't know about it, if you don't read about it? How else are you going to know how to build that foundation? How can I change the spark plugs in my car because I'm not a mechanic without reading that owner's manual? Okay? God gave us an owner's manual right here. He says, you read that, and you can build off of that. And I believe it. I believe that with all my heart, you can build off of that. God wants to see where we stand with Him. It says we are to do so to be approved unto God and not man. It's not to prove yourself to me or Pastor Hain or Pastor John. It's to prove yourself to God and how you think of Him. Do you know if you don't read your Bible on a daily basis, you're telling Him He's not important?
Yep.
Hey, I'm just telling you the truth. That's exactly what it is. There's something more important in your life.
Come on.
Than the one who saved you and has given you a life that you can't take some time and read your Bible on a daily basis. There's something more important in your life than God. You're putting Him in second place, maybe third or fourth place. Make the time. Doesn't have to be early in the morning. I like to do it early in the morning. It can be at lunchtime. It can be in the evening. It has to be done. You need to read your Bible. That's part of that foundation you're building on. Isn't that what we just talked about? Jesus Christ says you need to hear. And then not only hear, but you need to do. Well, how can you hear and do if you're not doing it yourself? Approved unto God. Don't say, well, I'm going to read my Bible today. That'll make Pastor Hain real happy with me. No, it will not, because he won't even know.
Right.
And that's the sad thing. Most of you who don't read your Bible on a daily basis, you're right. We don't know. But God sure does.
He sure does.
He's looking down going, so that's what I mean to you.
Come on.
You can hide that from the people of Black Creek. You can hide that from your family. But you sure ain't hiding it from God. That's a fact.
Yes, sir.
He knows where you stand with Him. And you know what? He wants you to see that. But hey, if you're not building on that foundation, you'll just stay blind. It looks good being religious. Even Jesus Christ said the religious crowd looks great, but inside they're full of dead men's bone. That's all they are. You look good on the outside. It looks great. But the inside, you see, that's what God's worried about, the inside. The inside, we need the foundation on the inside of us. I've hid that thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what it says. How are you going to get that word in there? You got to read it. You got to at least pick it up. I mean, my goodness, it shouldn't grow dust in 7 days. I say, you know what, I only tell you this because I know what's working for me and my family. And I mean, it's working. It's working. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Does that mean just sitting underneath preaching? No, that means reading your Bible on your own. That means sitting there and don't just rely. And I tell my Sunday school classes, don't just rely on me coming here to teach you something. Learn something on your own.
That's right.
Get lazy and, I'll just listen to Pastor Hain on Wednesday. I'll listen to our pastor on 10 and 11. No. Go learn something on your own. That's what God wants from me. Why? Because you're showing yourself you're approved unto Him, and you're showing where He stands in your heart.
Yep.
That's why. That's what it is. It's what it's about. I don't have to come here and tell all you guys I read and all. It's not what God's looking for. Okay? There is a crack in that foundation, and it can't be fixed by man's way, but only the ways of God, and that's reading your Bible every day. Another thing God expects from us, you know, all know the verse, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me just say this. This is something God expects from us, is our church service. Don't put in your head that, well, I want to go to church today and God's going to reward me for it. No, He expects that from you. The only reward you're going to get for that is a blessing that He beats you in the pews here. That's what you're going to get for that. Church service is what He expects from us. It's part of that foundation. You know, foundation, it's got to be full, the full foundation. I mean, if you're only putting that much cement in there and trying to build a house on it, not going to work. That foundation is going to crack and break. But you need to build that bad boy up. And these things here are going to help you build that foundation up where it's firm and them storms come and you can stand. Because I can tell you this right now, I'm going to attest to this, and my wife can attest to this. There has been some storms that came in me and my wife's life that would have blown another Christian right out of church. I'm just telling you that right now. If it wasn't for that foundation that Jesus Christ has set us on, we probably wouldn't be sitting in this church today. I kid you not. Church attendance is another thing God expects from us. It's part of building on that foundation. How can one learn to build on the foundation that they don't know about? The very next verse in Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." He's saying, I just told you, don't forsake the assembling of yourself. And in the very next verse, he says, now you're going to go out there and sin willfully because you're not going to go to church. You're willfully choosing not to do that. You just got the knowledge. He just told you in the very verse above that, don't forsake yourself and the assembling of yourself together. And in the very next verse, he says, willfully sin? I just gave you the knowledge of what to do, now you're just going to go ahead and say, I'm not going to do it? For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Not doing what God says in His Bible means we're choosing willfully to sin against a holy God. There are 7 days in a week, 168 hours in a week. God only asks for 2 days and 6 hours a week, and we can't do it. So what do He ask for? Sunday and Wednesday. 6 hours total. And we want to gripe and complain about doing that. 6 hours out of 168. 2 days out of seven is what God expects from us. And we have a hard time with it. What do we really think of God? Where's our foundation really? Do you really believe what the Word of God says? Or do you just learn doctrine and it looks real good? Pastor Haynes said it. You can know all the doctrine in the world. I teach my kids this. Please, I don't want you to learn this verse that we're going to do this week just so you know it. I want you to learn that verse so you understand it and can live it.
Amen.
I don't care how much you think you know. If If you can't live it, you know zero. Zero. I don't care if you got a doctorate, I don't care if you got a bachelor's degree, I don't care if you, whatever you think you have, if you can't live what God has taught you, then it means nothing to God. I'm just telling you that right now. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Lord, you tell me to read my Bible and study it, I'm going to do it. Now, Lord, not only am I going to just hear what you said, but I'm going to do what you said. That's the way you're going to approve yourself unto God. That's the way you're going to prove. Lord, I believe that foundation you told me to build on. I believe that. And I'm going to build on that foundation. And I'm going to stay on that foundation. If I ever slip off that foundation, my life is going to be nothing. I understand that about myself. I understand why God acts and expects me to do certain things in my life. It's for my good. It's not to punish me. It's not a punishment. It's because he knows what it's going to take to hold the Morey family together. He knows what it's going to take to hold us from just slipping away and turning away like so many people do. He knows what it's going to take. How would I know that? Because I'm building on the firm foundation. I'm hearing what he's saying in his word, and I'm fighting and struggling to do what he says to do with all the... I mean, my goodness, it's not easy to live in this world as a Christian anymore. But you know what? It's not even half as bad as those of the people we heard at Teen Week and what they have to go through. And we still complain. How would you like to ride under a hot, dusty bus and get beat up for some Bibles?
Come on.
I'm saying. Getting your heads chopped off. May God give us the strength to ever stand there. They said, you know what? We're going to chop your kids' heads off if you don't denounce Jesus Christ. I can't say I would say it. I can't say it. I can't. I don't know. But I sure like to have that faith where I could. Knowing that my kids were saved and would go to heaven. But you know what? That's happening to brothers and sisters overseas all the time.
Right.
And we complain about 2 days and 6 hours going to church and reading our Bible? Shame on us. Shame on where God stands in our heart. Shame on that belief we say what we have in our heart. And I'm going to hit this real quick. Number three, music. Music. The music today in the Christian churches and in people's homes, I'm just telling you right now, Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to set up an idol. And in order for him to get people to bow down to that idol, the very first thing he did was play music to get them to bow down. I'll tell you, if you're listening to ungodly, worldly music, that's what the devil's doing to you, to bow down to him. He's playing that music to get you to bow down to the God of this world.
Yeah.
Good.
This is only... I got a lot more. Obviously, I can't finish it. But this is what God expects from us on that foundation that we need to build. Where are we building our foundation? It's time, like Pastor said up here, listen, to examine yourselves. Please don't run from it. Examine what God has put in your heart. Don't face it. Face it, don't run. The worst thing you could ever do is run. You ask my wife, because she's the only one in this church who knows. Before I got saved, I'm just telling you, it's like you women having a baby. That was me. I was in travail, getting ready to be born again. And I'm just telling you, it was painful, man. It was painful to have to see those things. It was painful to have to watch what God was showing me about myself. But look at today. You know what happens after a mother has a baby? The Bible says they forget all that pain. Guess what? I forgot all that pain. I forgot all that travail that I went through to get saved. And I thank God that I went through it. And let me just tell you this, go through it, because when you're done with it, you're done with it. God is a merciful God, and you need to understand that. Start getting back to that foundation, that firm foundation that our forefathers had built for us. We need to get back to that. That's a King James Bible, listening to it. Not only listening to it, but doing what it says. And I'm done, Pastor.
Hold that recorder up there a moment. Pastor Haynes, would you get a song up? I just have a couple of things I want to say. Oh, that'll be fine. You know, I think sometimes about what is different about our church, and it's not always complimentary what's different about us, but we're different. But Pastor Haynes brings this up. He talks about it on Wednesday night. The prayer requests are often of a different tenor than what he's used to hearing in other churches.
where people will pray about their faults and their spiritual life and, you know, what's going on with them and such. And I didn't realize that that was unusual. I mean, the church that I got saved in, that would have been very common, and very common here. But Brother McVeigh says this. He said, in almost all other churches, when preaching goes on, then the altar call is all directed to get you to serve the Lord. Service. Service. What can you do more? What more work can you do for God? Okay? If you notice, that is not the bent of the preaching here. The bent of the preaching here is you to know God, to be conformed to God, to let God work in you, because if that happens, the service will come. So many places you find people forced into service, guilt seduced into it, and instead here it's that idea, get to know God, whatever it is that's needed. It's been testified to me of three, maybe four, I was just going through it just recently, of at least three, maybe four families who don't come here because the wives don't see the decorum. What do I mean by that? There's a certain decorum most churches have, and I'm not against that. It's just I couldn't do it if my life depended on it. But it's not there. But the thing is, I weigh that. And to be honest with you, I don't believe it. I think that's a point. And I'm not for haphazardness. It's one of the things where Pastor Hain has been such a godsend to this church. Because he really does understand certain things that need to be and such. And we laugh about hitting each other up with this and that and such. But thank God for it. Okay? If you really want my opinion, I think that people tend to avoid this church who feel the need for commitment. That's different than just coming in and serving. You're going to come in here. If you come into this church, you're going to be challenged that your relationship with Jesus Christ and where you are and how you study and what you know and how you serve him day by day. And it's not just while you're here, but it's a full 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week life with Jesus Christ. And you know me. I don't care what kind of a flub you are. I don't care what a mess up you are. In fact, I love those sometimes more than anybody else. They remind me more of me, you know, and such. But it's get that in your life. And I think there's people who do come in here who instinctively feel that and aren't sure they want that plunge. And so maybe in a way it's good that we don't have the decorum because it gives them a hook to hang that decision on. But just so you know, I don't buy that excuse.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? And at the same time, God forbid that in any way, shape, or form, I or this church be slack in anything that's disrespectful or not holy to God or whatever else. But if all people are looking for is that holy hush of church, you are going to the wrong place. Okay? We're not going to have it. Pastor, go ahead.